turn this call over to Verlene, who is going to talk to us tonight about handling requests at the bedside that we may not previously have prepared for. Mm-hmm. So, Verlene, it's all yours.
Great. Thanks, Dee. And thank you all for attending tonight, and also for those who are going to listen to the recording later. I'm glad to get to present this. I had the opportunity to present this workshop to Harper's Hall, and of course I had a whole bunch of people in the same room with me, so this is a different experience to be talking just to my telephone here. So hopefully I will give you enough opportunities throughout to ask questions and to get some feedback and all. But first I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about why we might want to do this. I find that when I'm playing for patients, some of the patients are just not, you know, at the end of life. They're not in a lot of pain. And they're just wanting to have some music that will take their minds off of their pain and off of the situation that they're in. And I will ask if they have any requests. And this is not something you have to do. It's something I enjoy doing because it's... you know, it's, again, it's a way to connect with the patient. It gives them the opportunity to actually be a part of their music and the kind of music that they're getting. And it kind of becomes a fun adventure that you can have with them, whether you feel like you're able to just jump right in and play a full arrangement of something, or whether you're just going to be picking out a simple melody, even just a portion of a melody. And then you end up having, again, this connection with the patient that you might not have had if you only bring in the repertoire that you have. So first of all, one of the things that people are afraid of in terms of trying to play something by ear that they've never played on the harp is that they just have no clue where to start. And if you try and start a melody on the wrong note of the scale, you might get to a certain point, and then you all of a sudden you run into, oh, that's not the right note anymore. So, for instance, now I am tuned, by the way, in the key of C, and hopefully everybody has their harps or instruments handy, and that you're tuned up to concert pitch A440. And if you've got harps, put your levers in the key of C, because we're going to do all of our examples in the key of C. So if we start Yankee Doodle on an F string, so far so good. Whoops, there's the wrong note there. If we started on G, you can also play a certain amount. Whoops, there's the wrong note. And so the trick is to know which pitch to actually start your tune on. So in Yankee Doodle starts on Do, or the first degree of the scale. And so then all of the notes are correct because we started in the right place. So what we're going to do is learn how to use the major scale as a template for the melodies that would be in major keys. Of course, this is not going to benefit the major keys. You know, it's only going to be working for the major keys. We have a page, too, that's about modes and minor keys, and we'll see how far we get in today's workshop, whether we want to cover everything on that page. So you can either use Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, if you're familiar with that system, or just the numbers of the scale degrees, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then call the top note 1. And the idea is to try and decide whether or not, well, not whether or not, but which degree of the scale a melody starts on. So what I'm going to do is there's seven tunes here that we're going to do, and if you've got the workshop handouts printed out, you've got that to kind of go along with. But I'm going to play the C major scale template, and that means I'm just playing a C major scale. Now, if you think of O Danny Boy, just think about humming it. Don't think about plucking it on your harp yet. Just think about humming it. See if you can find that starting note. And here's the scale again. And so we're looking for what is the word O going to be if you were singing it. O Danny Boy. And so what degree of the scale is that? It's not O Danny Boy. It's not O Danny Boy. So where does that start? So I'm going to give you just a few more seconds to kind of pluck. Now you can pluck on your harps or your instrument and see if you can locate that. Oh, Danny Boy. Do you hear how, because I played the scale, there's a place that that melody fits, that it works. And that happens to be the seventh degree of the scale. So if you discovered that you start on the seventh degree of the scale, then you are correct. If you were thinking that it starts on the third degree of the scale, some of it could work there. But then what's going to happen is that you're going to get to this note that's not correct. So if you play the scale, that note is already in your head. And the more you practice doing this, hunting, playing the template scale, and then looking for the melody, the more you're going to recognize that just by putting the scale in your head, you automatically would sing it in the correct key. If you can hum it, then you're going to find the right scale degree. So let me have everyone go off mute and see how many were comfortable with finding that starting note. So did anybody?
Well, I had a little trouble. This is Danita in Washington.
Hi.
And I started on C and kind of worked up and knew that still wasn't working for me.
Come on.
Instead of going back down to that seven. But I get it now after you said that.
Okay. Yeah. And that was a tricky one.
Middle,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I started middle C and went up, I was saying. So, but I get it now.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, and so it may be that the melody note doesn't start in within that octave of that template that I'm playing. So when I play this, the starting note is actually below that. But it was, if you have trouble finding it, what you can do is play your template scale and then go down also.
Mm-hmm.
And just that will help you to locate that the note that's below, because often it will start below the one instead of within the one up through to the octave.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments on that? Uh-huh.
You mentioned handouts, and I never found any handouts for this.
Oh, okay. Did we get those handouts posted yet?
Handouts were posted on the website. So you go to the call recordings page and go to music skills.
Got it. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. Good. Any other questions or comments? Because we can go. What I'd like to do is go through each of these songs and get starting notes. And rather than stopping and talking between each one, I'll go maybe another two or three of them, and then go off mute again. Would that work?
That's fine.
Okay, let's do that then. So if you do still have a question or we're feeling a little bit lost on it, let's do a couple more songs and see whether maybe it starts to fall into place. And so the next song on the list is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So again, I'm going to play that C scale. And before you try and pluck a note to figure out what it is, sing it in your head. So how would it go? degree was that? So I'm giving you just a minute or two, and let me talk just a bit through, too. Again, if you want to call it by the letter names, if you're more comfortable saying, well, we're doing a C scale, so, you know, you can think of which letter name. If you think of the numbers or the solfege, then it allows you to also, you know, play that in a different key as well. But since we're going to do everything in the key of C, it's okay if you want to think in terms of, is it starting on C or D or E? That would be just fine. Okay, so I'm going to give you the answer, and then we'll go on to the third song. So Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Some starts on the one, the do, or you would say it's on the C. It starts on C. Okay, and we're going on to the next song. Now, there may be a few songs that people are not as familiar with. It depends on your background in, you know, what kind of music you listen to. I picked a handful of songs that I have had requested at the hospital, and so that's why the list is the way it is. So The Way We Were, that was a song by Barbara Streisand made famous, and it was also, people will call it Memory, but it isn't Memory. Memories is from Cats, but The Way We Were, a lot of times people say, oh, do you know that song Memories? And then when I start Cats, then they say, no, not that one. So this is The Way We Were. And again, here is the scale. So what you're looking for is what would be sung on the words Memories, the first word, mem, first part of that word, mem. Okay, and I'm going to play it the scale one more time. And let me sing the beginning. Memories. Memories. So you can find that pitch. And this happens to be within that octave, so not below or above. And the answer on that one is it starts on the sixth degree of the scale, on the A. Memories. Okay. Let's do one more, and then we'll take a break and talk. So All I Ask of You, that's from Phantom of the Opera, and that is another song that gets requested a lot. So here's the scale. And what we're looking for is when you'd sing No More Talk of Darkness, you know, the word no. Where is no? No more. No more talk of darkness. Okay. No more talk of darkness. So can you hear where that one starts? I'll give you the answer and then we'll go off mute. That one starts on the second degree of the scale, or re, for the solfege, on the note D. No more talk of darkness. Okay. So now let's go off mute and see whether I want to find out from you whether the whether you're finding some of these, whether some are more difficult than others.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Karen. I guessed two of them right, which was Over the Rainbow and The Way We Were.
Right.
The other songs I wasn't that familiar with, so I really kind of didn't go there.
Right, right. You know, and that's a really good point. If you're not familiar enough with it to hum it in your head, you know, or to you know, come up with how the tune goes and actually, you know, sing a few notes. Then it would be really hard to play that request. And so when I have a patient asking me for a song that I am completely not comfortable, or I am not comfortable, but not even I can't even pull it out of my head, then I tell them, I don't know how that one goes. Can you hum it? And occasionally if they hum it, it puts it enough in my head that I go, oh, yeah, that one. And then you can kind of use the same template. But if you just, you're going, well, how does it even start? You know, then, yeah, then we can't play the tune if we don't know what the starting note is. And that's, you know, what this exercise is about. But if you do know how the song goes in your head, then you found that Over the Rainbow and The Way We Were, you were able to find. Over the Rainbow's pretty easy. Most people find that one. The Way We Were is actually tricky. So if you were able to find that starting note, that means that, you know, that you were able to apply the
way.
Find your degree. Other questions?
Hi, Verlene.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Hi, thanks, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering, what kind of things can we do to train our ears to the intervals? Do you have any suggestions on that? On tweaking our ability to delineate what the intervals are.
Right. And the intervals meaning progressing in through the melody, or are you thinking more in terms of being able to find the starting note?
Well, when I'm thinking of the scale, you know, you hum the scale out, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, boop, boop, boop. It's very obvious that the note is an interval away. And it's just, if I could maybe recognize that interval, and I got 3 out of the 4.
Great.
That you just suggested, but it's like, okay, what can I do to better and more quickly get to where I need to go?
Yeah. So there are some tricks. For one, if you're using the major scale as your template, when you hear the scale, some of the notes feel like home, and some of them feel like they're more transitionary or that's not the right word, but they feel like they're more unsettled. And so, of course, one is your most settled and home, you know, feels like home. Also, the 3 and the 5, or the E and the G, which make up the C major chord, feel like home. So if you are hearing the scale and then you're thinking, for instance, The Way We Were feels like it's kind of lifted away from home, memories, and then it settles into home. So you know that it's not going to be 1, 3, or 5. And does that kind of help a little bit what I'm saying, or am I in the right direction for answering your question?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, and then knowing how many steps to move up or down, sometimes it is a guessing game. And again, you know, if you're playing for a patient who's requested a song, and often if I say, well, I've never played that one on the harp, let's see if it works. And they're delighted to see you try to make it work. And so if I were to say, okay, memories of harp above. Now, my ear, I have trained long enough to recognize that that's a 6 to a 5, because the 5 feels like the dominant degree. You know, it feels like da-dum, or da-dum, da-dum. You just have this sense of where that note is related to the major scale. So I would have found that 6, but occasionally there's a song where I just don't know it that well, and so I might have picked a 2 instead of, and I might have gone, memories, yeah, light the corners of my mind, and it will work pretty well for part of it, and then you run into problems because you're starting on a degree of the scale that isn't the home chord. It actually would have been the key of F. Memories. That works if you are in F. I mean by D flat down. So I guess that the training has a lot to do with doing this exercise over and over. Do it yourself. When you're sitting at home, you go, oh, I wonder if I can play, you know, and think of a song that you know. And it's a lot of fun, actually. And then, you know, of course, there are songs that you run into, the accidentals, which is part of today's workshop, if we can get to that. Then you have to figure out, well, what am I going to do about that accidental? But again, just finding your starting note will take you a long ways, because then you'll be able to at least play a portion of the song for the patient that you're playing for. Any other questions on that part?
I have a question, Verlene. This is Tanita.
Uh-huh.
You started The Way We Were with your lovely soprano voice. Well, I'm an alto bass, so memory for me is going to start a bit lower. Is that going to be a problem for me as I work through the song?
You know, and it could, if you're going to sing with it, then you might decide, I don't want to put it in that key, you know, and then you would, you know, if you think, okay, well, memories, it starts all the way up on the sixth degree, you know, if you can recognize it, that's where it starts. Occasionally I do this too, where I'll start with the key of C because it is so familiar. You know, it's just the red string and the blue string are right there, and I just know where I am. But occasionally I'll start something, and especially if the patient wants the words, because occasionally the words are more meaningful than the melody, and it just, it does a lot to for them to hear that the message of the song. And so then I might say, that's a little high, and then I'll switch it to the key of G, and to put it more into a comfortable singing range. So that is, again, you know, when you play for a patient, you're not trying to show them how perfectly you can play something. It's this aspect of playing for a patient, playing requests, is more about that connection and about sharing an experience that lingers. You know, a lot of times when I go to play for a patient, again, they tell me, oh, I remember last time you were here, you played such and such, or you tried to play this, and it was, you know, and then they'll smile and laugh and say, I wonder if you could do, you know, and they'll, you know, come up with something else too. And so it, what it does is it gives them a sense of having almost a kind of some control over how much, how the music is going to help them. And, you know, it's not something you do. I don't do this with every patient I go play for. So it's just some patients, this is a good therapeutic use of music. So if you're singing, yeah, you might not want to be in that key. You could also play your scale down here. Memories. And sing it down in the alto or tenor range. So, but again, if you feel like that's, you know, I can't find the starting note because my voice doesn't go that high, try playing the scale an octave lower and see if the actual starting note comes out. And then you could always play the melody on your harp up here if you're not singing, if you're just playing playing without singing.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments or concerns? Why don't we go on to the, there's three more. That was just putting off mute. Trying to recognize what the beeps mean. Let's go on to the fifth, sixth, and seventh songs. And what you'll find when we're done is that every scale degree has been used. So that's kind of a little sneaky hint. If we've already started on one of the scale degrees, then it's probably not the answer for these last three. So the next song is As Time Goes By. And that's, you know, the standard. So here's your scale template again. And this is the one that you must remember this, the kisses just. So if you start singing, you must remember this, you, you must remember this. So I'll give you a second to locate that one. Okay, and so As Time Goes By starts on the third degree of the scale, the E. You must remember this. Okay. The number six song is Auld Lang Syne, and this is the more common version, not the old Irish version. And a hint here is that it's going to be really high to sing if you try and find the starting note between the C and the C. So I'm going to play the template scale down here. So we're looking for should all the acquaintance. Should old acquaintance, should old acquaintance. Okay, and if you chose the fifth degree of the scale, or the G, you're correct. Now, the last song may be one that you're not as familiar with, depending, again, on what kind of music you've listened to. I Will Always Love You. This is a song that Dolly Parton wrote and recorded, but then Whitney Houston came along and recorded it and made it even more famous. But I do get requests for Whitney Houston, and this is one of the ones that kind of sort of works. So, again, here's the scale. And the words of the verse that starts out is, if I should, I can't remember all the words, but if I something, something, I would only be in your way. And I can't think of the words now, but if I, okay. And the answer for that one is the fourth degree of the scale, the F. If I, I think it should stay. If I should stay, I would only be in your way, etc. Okay, and so that is, those are the answers. So for the Danny Boy, in case you didn't get your handouts printed out right away, Oh Danny Boy starts on 7, Over the Rainbow starts on 1, The Way We Were starts on 6, All I Ask of You starts on 2, As Time Goes By starts on 3, Auld Lang Syne starts on 5, and I Will Always Love You starts on 4. So these are just some examples, and what I would recommend is that you look, you're going to find that there are more songs that start on 1, 3, or 5 than on 2, 4, and 6, or 7. But, you know, just kind of think about songs that you have heard on the radio or that you hum in your head, things that you remember from childhood, and try and come up with what is that starting note, and just check it out. Do this on your own. Often enough so that you build your confidence to be able to find your starting note. Now, if you have a starting note, then you can begin to fill out the tune. You know, if you don't have the right starting note, you're going to run into problems and continually flip levers until you're completely confused about what key you're supposed to be in. So this is why I like to try things first in the key of C, and then I might transpose it, especially like I said, if I'm going to sing it and it's a bad key to sing in, I might transpose it. For a long time, people would ask me to play How Great Thou Art, and I would play it in my template key because the first time I played it for a patient, I'd never played it on the harp before. And so I'm used to playing it in the key of C now, but then someone wanted me to sing it, and C is not a nice key to sing in on that song. So I've moved it down to G, but because I know the starting note and I know now the direction and how, you know, where the song goes, it was easy enough to transpose. And this is one reason I like to think in terms of the numbers, you know, the scale degrees. Where does this start? It starts on 1 or 5 or 2 or whichever. So the next step is, of course, to find the rest of the melody. And I have a little thing that I like to teach in a workshop, and that's the three D's. So you want to remember the three D's. First D is direction. What happens next? Does it move up? Does it move down? Or does it stay the same? And then second D is distance. Well, does it skip? Or does it, if it's going to move up or down, if it stays the same, it doesn't. The distance is zero. But if it skips, does it skip one or two or three strings? Duration would be how long, third D is duration. That would be how long do you hold it? And most of the time, we don't have to think about half notes and quarter notes or any kind of rhythm elements from reading if we're playing by ear. Because when you sing, you're not thinking, is this a half note? You know, you're just holding it as long as it goes. So it's just more of a question of how long do I hold it before I move on to the next note. It's kind of the least critical D, because direction and distance will put you on the melody. And the duration will pretty much fall into place. So let me open to questions again, and then we're going to do a little bit of an exercise with direction. And for direction, if you have trouble recognizing whether something goes up or down, then I would recommend that you do a lot of ear training, meaning practice trying to identify whether something went up or down. And the best way to do that, if you don't have someone that you're working with as a teacher, is to get one of the apps that's on the iPhones or the Androids that's an ear training app. And it's really nice that those are available, but basically what they'll do is they'll play two pitches, and they might do this. And then you have to identify, does it go up or does it go down? I'm guessing that most of the people who are doing this program are pretty much comfortable with this whole idea of, is it going up, is it going down, or does it stay the same? So, for instance, Oh Danny Boy, we found our starting note is on the seventh degree of the scale, and are we moving up or down? Oh Danny Boy, we're moving up. And now, are we moving up in steps or in skips? Does it sound close together, or does it sound like we're skipping notes? Oh, Danny Boy. We're just moving up step by step. We're not skipping any strings. And then, you know, the duration is a simple thing. You're going to move until you get to the end of that phrase and hold the word boy. Oh, Danny Boy. So, that's kind of the process. Now, that's a real simple one. Now, what about Over the Rainbow? Over the Rainbow, we have starting on one, and then we have a really big skip. Somewhere. And now, when it's that big a skip, this is where the ear training of intervals can come in really handy, to practice recognizing, oh, that's an octave. Somewhere. And then where does it go? It goes down. And it only steps down one, and then, does that go to the next step down? Nope, it skips a string. And then it climbs back up step by step. So sometimes this is going to be trial and error. And when they're really big jumps, and when there's lots and lots of skips, you might find that you need to hit a string and say, oh, that wasn't it. And then, you know, go on. Again, it's something that you can be interactive with the patient in, that they're helping you to find a song on the harp. And that's something that can stay with them. And have them involved in this rather than thinking about, oh, I've got surgery tomorrow and, you know, I'm really worried about how that's going to go. It can help to just alleviate their fears for just the short period of time, and lift the spirits and give them a little bit more of a positive feeling, so that when they move into their procedure the next day, it's not
a big buildup of anxiety throughout, you know, the previous 2 days. So anyway, now the rest of this workshop talks about the things that you run into when a song is not all in just the key of C. And there are a lot of songs that either don't stay in the key of C or are just not even remotely in the key of C. They're in modes or in minor keys. And there's only another 20 minutes or so left on this call. And so I'm kind of thinking that I'd like to skip page 2, which is about modes and minor melodies, and talk a little bit about accidentals. In particular, so if you go to page 3, one of the most common accidentals, and first of all, just to, in case anybody is not familiar with terminology, an accidental is a note that is not part of the scale of the key that you're in. So on a harp, you would need to flip a lever to get to that accidental. Sometimes you can omit the accidental. You can substitute it. And so this is all written out in your handout that a common accidental is the note that would be, well, it's written down, so you can read it and kind of look over this some more, too. The note that would be the leading tone in the next key. So if you're in the key of C, the next key would be the key of G that has an F sharp. And so the F sharp in the key of G is considered the leading tone. And if you play a D major chord, you would need that F sharp. And so some melodies will pick up that melody note as in, you know, part of the melody. So let me give you an example. Does everybody, it's hard to talk to the phone here. Does everybody know the song Dream, which is from, I think it's the Everly Brothers that recorded it. It's also known as All I Want to Do is Dream. So it's the one that goes, dream, 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 dream. So the whole verse sounds just fine. It fits into the major scale just fine. But then when you get to the bridge, which is, I can make you mine, taste your lips of wine, anytime, any day, I can't remember if those are the right words. Only problem is, gee whiz, I'm dreaming my life up. So you need that F sharp there. Away. And if you were playing the chord, it would be a D chord rather than D minor. So you either have to flip that lever, or you can substitute it with one of the other notes that's in the D chord. So, dreaming my life away, and then you can avoid having to play that F sharp. So there are some songs where you can just simply switch to a different note, and many harp players have played versions of the Ashgrove, where instead of playing the accidental, which is that same F sharp if you're in the key of C, let's see. And when you get to the bridge, I have to get there. Okay, here it is. Now, there's supposed to be an F sharp here. Da, da. But a lot of people play instead. So substituting the A instead of the F sharp. So it's a common way to get kind of avoid the accidental. There are some pieces, though, that it's so integral to the melody that you have to do a lever change. So America the Beautiful is an example of that. If you're playing America the Beautiful in the key of C, so now here we have a C sharp. And you can't do, well, you can, but I think most people will look at you funny if you play the E instead of the C sharp. And so this is where they're using an A chord for the harmony, and the C-sharp note is part of that harmony, or part of that chord. So in that case, you may need to do a lever change, or if you're playing and you're singing along, you can just stop playing the melody for the C-sharp and sing it instead. So those are some options for when you have the accidentals. Let me think, what is the best? How about, let me get some questions again now that we're talking about the accidentals and moving on with playing the melody beyond just this, establishing the first degree of the scale. I mean, the first note in the song.
Verlene, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Christina in Longmont.
Hi, Christina.
So I just wanted to make a couple of comments. One is that when people are confused, if a person is confused about an interval, what I have done over the years is I've trained myself to recognize intervals by songs.
Uh-huh.
So, and I think a lot of people do this. So for 1, 3, and 5, I've just taught myself to sing 1, 3, 5, 3, 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's a third, then I know it goes 1, 3. But if it's a sixth, my bonnie lies over the ocean. So I just wanted to put that out there, that that's something that I do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and
to find those things.
Right, and that can work well for some people. The one issue with using those songs, and that's what's taught in college music theory classes, our training classes. But the issue with putting the songs to it is that the interval that you're singing with My Bonnie is not from 1 up to 6 in the C major scale. It's actually the key of F. And so to do it in the key of C, you're really going from the G up to the E, which is doing, if you're thinking the scale degrees from the 6 up to the 3. And I use, when I teach voice as well, and when I teach the ear training classes or ear training portion, we go with learning what it sounds like to go from any scale degree to any other scale degree. And that's something you can train just by, you know, sitting at your instrument and playing the scale degrees and thinking of the names of the interval. Like, for instance, thinking, this is a third, or you can say, this is 1 to 3, 1 to 4, 1 to 5, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And in
a
way, it establishes a tune, just like My Bonnie is a tune, but it keeps it within the key instead of borrowing from other keys. So, but that is that's a common... if for some people, just doing My Bonnie is going to give them their major sixth, no matter what key they're in, and that can work just fine for many people.
The other thing I was going to mention is that when you're playing a song and you know the melody, but you're not going to play it in your right hand, for example, on the harp.
Uh-huh.
And you have an accidental that's coming up. I'm assuming it's also possible to just chord that piece.
Uh-huh.
And when you get to the accidental, you sing it with your voice, and you don't play it with your hands.
Right. And in fact, if you're going to play the chord that has the accidental, it may mean that you just omit the third of the chord. And then you're singing the melody anyway. So I had a colleague. She's no longer at Stanford Hospital. She's moved to Gallup, New Mexico. And she plays just chords on her harp primarily, and she hums melodies. And so she doesn't play melody on her harp. And her music is, again, very soothing, and she'll play some melodies that are very familiar. But it's a nice thing that she doesn't have to worry about flipping levers for the melody ever. So.
Yes, because if you're winging something, it seems to me that that's the easier thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah. I was playing for a patient who asked if I knew Wild Mountain Thyme. And I'm going, I kind of know that one. How does that go? And I started playing, I think it was Eleanor Plunkett. You know, because it has some really similar sounds. I'm going, no, that's not it. She started singing it. And then I started singing along with her and then finding the chords. And then she started harmonizing. And it was just a lovely experience. And so, yeah, you don't always have to play the melody on the harp or your instruments. I know if there's any guitarists listening in, that you may be, if you're going to try and play a melody by ear and also do some kind of a chording accompaniment, that's a real kind of challenging and advanced thing to do on a guitar. But I know a lot of guitar players who will just simply, you know, strum the chords and hum the melody or sing the melody words.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I have some more information that's on the handouts. The rest of the page of accidentals deals with when there are flat sixes in the melody, and I think I've written enough of you know, the information that you can kind of look at that. Let's see, and even just some of the chromatic things. Some things like the Old Rugged Cross is one that I get requested all the time. And if you have to do that one, you almost need that F sharp there. But one of the tricks I've used is, like more of a kind of what would you call it? It would be an improvisation on the tune. It would be, that's not how it's sung, but as long as you get enough of the melody coming across, they don't need to hear every one of those chromatic elements. So instead of F sharp, G sharp, and then you're mostly worried about getting levers up and down. And again, it's really, this is all for the benefit of the patient. And if they are happy with hearing just an attempt at a song and something that brings a memory to them or puts them in a place that is healing to them, then it doesn't matter whether, you know, that you play every single note correctly. Anyway, so that I wanted to say that, but I also want to touch on what's on this middle page, page 2, modal and minor melodies. And there aren't going to be very many requests for songs in Mixolydian mode. It's the folk songs are more likely to have Mixolydian mode, like Old Joe Clark. Angel from Montgomery is a kind of a modern, like in the 70s, I think, country song. Great Silkie's a more of a traditional. On Broadway, you know, I don't know if you know that one. That's it. They say the neon lights are bright on my Broadway. So if you're doing it in C, you have to have B flat. Bright on Broadway. And again, knowing what that's in that mode, you might be able to at least pull off something for a patient. But I've never had a patient ask for On Broadway. And I've never had a patient ask for Angel from Montgomery. So, you know, the Mixolydian mode, it's here just because it is a mode, and there are songs that are in those modes. On the other hand, I've had requests for Beatles songs, and The Long and Winding Road is a beautiful song that has both the regular seven in the key and the flat seven. So it's sort of halfway between major scale and Mixolydian mode. Now, I know I just threw out Mixolydian mode without explaining it. I put a little brief explanation on the handout so you can read that. I don't want to take up a lot of time explaining it. But if you think of the long and winding road, now we need a B flat. But we needed, and then we need to be natural right away again. And so what you need to think of in terms of is that if it has, I mean, that's a really important note. So you would want to think of lever changes in that case. I played for one patient who he was terminal. He was in the hospital for like, I think, a year and a half. I played for him over a period of almost a year and a half. And when he discovered that I could play a Beatles song, then pretty soon he started, he also had a trach and couldn't speak, so he held up his whiteboard and would ask for Beatles songs, and he'd start writing down different songs. And so, well, let's see if that works. Well, let's see if that works. And it turned out, using C as a template, that a number of the Beatles songs had both a B and a B natural and a B flat. So that we kind of had a nice laugh about that the Beatles liked that, you know, that extra note in there. Hey Jude was one of them. Long and Winding Road, of course, was one of them. Eleanor Rigby was one of them. So so as you kind of play with songs that are in a major key, some of the common accidentals that you'll run into is that lowered seven. The first time ever I saw your face. Let's see, the first time ever I saw your face. Da 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 da. And now the tune never has the B natural, so you can actually preset that B flat. But when you're playing the G chord, you have to make sure, if you're chording with it, the first time. If you play the G chord here with that B flat, it's the wrong kind of G chord, it's a G minor. So you just have to recognize when to leave out the B flat in the chord. But you can preset the B flat and leave it there for that song. And again, I mean, well, how would I know that? Well, I don't. If I don't know the song and I'm playing it by ear to answer a request, then I discover it as I go and I say, whoa, there's a B flat there. And I might go back and forth with the lever until I realize I never even have to play that B natural. So so that's the thing is to be not afraid to try on a song. And again, finding the starting note is like, I think about 60%, maybe even 75% of the process, and then it's moving up and down. And of course, I'm throwing in chords every so often. But the second part of this call, that's going to be in 2 weeks, will be on how to add chords, how to find what the chords are to a melody, even if you don't have, you know, the sheet music or you don't have a chord chart. Anyway, so now we have 0 minutes, but if you want to ask me any questions, I'm here. I don't need to hang up right away, as long as the call doesn't. I don't know if the call has any time limit. But.
Actually, what we need to do is pretty quickly. We won't get dumped, but. So it's a hot question, we can do it, and otherwise we should go ahead and end.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like there's a hot question.
Okay.
So thanks, Verlene.
You're welcome. Yeah. And I hope that you'll join us in 2 weeks for the one on adding chords. So, and I think that if there are any questions, Dee, is it okay if people email me?
Sure.
Okay. Great.
Thanks so much, Verlene.
Thank you all.